It's time to wake to sleep with Sleep Science Today, where we learn to sleep well with your host, Andrew Kolsky, on UK Health Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Sleep Science Today. I'm your host, Andrew Kolsky. Today, we are going to be talking about Ayurvedic techniques and their relationship to sleep. We have a guest, which I'm going to call by her first name, which is Lutaute, and you're going to find out why when she tells you her full name, because it's a tongue twister for me, but I'm sure that it's easy for her living her whole life with it. So please, Lutaute, go ahead and introduce yourself to the audience.
Thank you, Andrew. I'm very happy to be here. So my name is Vytautė Liutkevičiūtė. That's thumbs up to my Lithuanian heritage. Very proud of it. And I am an Ayurvedic health counselor.
Great. Well, we're going to get into all sorts of things here, but I think the audience now understands why I didn't try to mention your last name, because I would have done a terrible job and it wouldn't have done you justice. So thank you for taking care of that for me. All right. Let's start off and let's talk about this word Ayurveda. I don't even, you know, give us a background. What does that mean? Where does it come from? What does it do? Fill us in.
Sure. So Ayurveda is, if we pull it apart, it's a Sanskrit word that means the knowledge of life. And it's essentially a discipline that that originated thousands and thousands of years ago in the area that was the Indus Valley civilization. So the area that is present-day India. And it's a discipline that is all about our health and longevity. So it is codified knowledge that our distant ancestors have noticed, have observed in the way that the body functions. What are the things that make the body sick? What are the things that help heal the body? And what are ways to maintain our wellness for as long as possible. So Ayurveda is this, if you will, it's like a version of holistic medicine that is steeped in many thousands of years of trial and error of observing the human body. And even, so we have written sources, of it that are several thousands years old, but it is said along with other disciplines like yoga and other disciplines from the Vedic tradition that this knowledge was actually being passed down orally for many thousands of years before, and then somebody decided to start writing it down. So it's you know, it's knowledge that has been around for a very, very long time.
Right.
And
right.
The beautiful thing about it is that it is, even though it is ancient knowledge, since it is based off the principles of nature, it is still applicable today. So it's not confined to, you know, a particular geographic area or a particular time period. It is stuff that we can definitely apply today in our modern day lives.
Great. Well, it sounds very much in line with what I try to say to my audience a lot. And if they've followed me at all, they probably heard me say, you know, we're talking about getting good sleep here, but how do you expect to get good sleep if you're not taking care of your diet, if you're not taking care of your body, if you're not taking care of the whole person? And, you know, sleep can't be taken as just one part and fix that, but everything else is off. You got to put things together. So it sounds very much in line with what I preach. So tell us, how did you get into this? Where did your interest come from? How did you get into it? When did you get into it? Give us some more background about you.
Yeah. So as I mentioned, right now, I am guiding people on their Ayurvedic journeys. But before, my life looked very, very different. So I was working in the world of European politics for over a decade. And before that, I worked in a corporate law firm. So my background was, you know, very, very distinct from what I do now. And for me, I kind of started feeling that a change was needed when my children were born. So I have two kids. One is almost 10 and one is 7. And during my first pregnancy, I started experiencing insomnia. That was probably hormone-induced. But that was like this first experience that I had that I felt it kind of messed up my life, because I could really, like, I would, during the night, I would actually go to the living room, put up the lights, and read. And then I would maybe snooze in the morning, and then I had a job to go to. So I would then, wow, you know, while pregnant, go and do like a full office day, and then come back and like repeat. So I really was on this, you know, on this path of self-depletion. And when the first baby arrived, you know, that is not the time when you start to catch up on sleep usually. So it's a bad idea to head into the newborn phase already sleep deprived. But that happened to me. And then my second one was born a few years later. So I was really, you know, I was sleep deprived, and I was kind of functioning on this autopilot. Like, my life felt like I was on autopilot. I actually have very blurry memories from that time, because I think that my brain was in some sort of fog most of the time. And after my second child was born, that is when I came across Ayurveda through a podcast, actually. So I have such appreciation for people who are podcasting about their passions, because you never know how that can change somebody's life trajectory. That happened to me. So that podcast that I fell in love with was about Ayurveda. And for me, it was like hearing about this knowledge that felt really ancestral and really true. For me, it felt like I knew this on some level. Like, it felt really familiar in a strange way, because it made so much sense. And I then I started working with an Ayurvedic practitioner who was kind of guiding me along the way, but I also started studying it at the same time. So as I started to implement Ayurveda in my life, it was like all these, you know, I was pulling at different threads. So there was the sleep piece, there was the diet piece, like how I was nourishing my body, and like, you know, learning to cook nourishing foods as opposed to going for convenience foods, which happens when you're a sleep deprived mother who's working. And also, like, really looking at what depletes my energy during the day and what replenishes my energy during the day. So, like, all these different moving pieces that, you know, when we start paying attention to them, things really start to shift. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, I was studying for a few years. I'm still studying. So this was in 2018 when I found Ayurveda first. Okay. And then by 2022, I think, I left my job. Wow. So that was the big shift that happened. I really need to plan it. But when, you know, when you really feel a passion for something, things sometimes just align with some effort. So, yeah, that was the big shift in my life.
Wow. Wow. Fantastic. So today then, you're what? You're working with other people to teach them what you have learned?
Yeah. So I am, I'm working with people who sometimes have questions about various health symptoms that, you know, they may have seen different conventional medicine specialists, and they're not convinced with the answer. Not convinced in a sense that, like, they don't want to just, you know, live with whatever has been diagnosed forever. They want to also look for other solutions, and especially solutions in lifestyle. So sometimes we're looking at like a combination of symptoms that doesn't make sense for people, and they are like trying to treat them separately. But sometimes when we look at a combination of symptoms through an Ayurvedic lens, we might find that there is just one root cause. For example, lack of sleep, you know, that can definitely be considered a root cause for a big variety of symptoms, for sure. Mm-hmm. And usually people, you know, who come to Ayurveda, they have really shopped around in the world of holistic wellness. Usually they have tried various specialists. And usually these clients, they also have like a desire to have a deeper understanding of the body. So oftentimes, you know, they're not looking just for somebody to tell them what to do, but they also really want to understand why it is that they're doing that.
Well, that's, you know, that's so different from traditional Western medicine. And just speaking from my own experiences, you know, you have a problem, you go and you see a doctor here in the U.S., and oftentimes I feel like they're listening for symptoms, and then they want to give me a pill or something to address the symptom, but we never had a conversation about the root cause. Now, I don't want to say never, but it seems like, I feel like, we haven't talked about what's actually going on or what we need to do to treat the root cause. We're treating symptoms. And, you know, recently I had an issue with some back problems, and I went to the doctor and they said, oh, well, take these pills. And I said, well, what do they do? Well, they'll make you feel better. I said, well, what, are you masking the pain? Well, yeah, we're masking. Well, you never asked me what the root cause was. You know, maybe if we treated the root cause, that might mean that I don't need to take pills and all. So it's a different approach here for sure. But, you know, I agree with you that it is so important to understand the entire body as a system and as an organization if you're going to heal. So just out of curiosity, can you tell us some of the things in your own experience for yourself? What did you find was needed a change that you were able to change easily through Ayurveda? Let's hear about that, and then we're going to cut to a commercial break.
I would say that, sorry, could you repeat the question?
Yes. For yourself, when you first started getting into Ayurveda, are there some major things that you learned about yourself that you changed?
Yeah. So sleep was a huge piece. Since I wasn't sleeping at night, and by then, like, my body had, I had to essentially retrain my body to be able to sustain sleep during the night, because it was so used to waking up that it just became part of my rhythm. So I started using certain yogic techniques, and especially the technique of yoga nidra, to replenish my energy during the day. And so that was kind of this bridge practice that helped me reset and maintain my energy levels during the day, and allowed me to be a bit more relaxed and keep my nervous system, you know, on a more mellow side, so that would favor my nighttime sleep. So that was one of the most impactful changes that I introduced when it comes to my insomnia. Definitely digestion was also a big piece, and really learning to develop and cultivate that rhythm of, you know, eating at the same time every day, and also teaching that to my kids, which anyway, they tell you, you know, when you have small kids that you need to maintain a rhythm. But that was something that, you know, adults usually forget for themselves.
Right.
So like really learning to prepare simple meals that are nourishing and that my body can digest. Because another thing we look at in Ayurveda is the principle of bioindividuality. So we look at like the bodies are built differently, right? Some bodies are, you know, they build muscle more easily. Some bodies have more sensitive nervous systems and more sensitive digestive systems. So it's really like, you know, learning to tune into your own and seeing what it does well with, and learning what your boundaries are for your body when it comes to food, when it comes to, you know, social engagements and your energy budget, all of those things, they definitely made a difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me stop you there for a quick commercial break. But when we come back, I want to dive into that in more detail so we can learn about how this can impact other people. So we will be right back on Sleep Science Today. I'm your host, Andrew Kolsky. We'll be right back. Have you ever wondered why you can't sleep well? Well, there could be lots of different reasons. In order to figure it out, I wrote the book, Why Can't I Sleep Well? It includes 150 common sleep questions that are asked and answered, and I provide all of the supporting science and evidence to address each of the questions. I encourage you to get a copy of Why Can't I Sleep Well by Andrew Kolsky. It's available at www.sleepsciencetoday.com.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, welcome back to Sleep Science Today. We're talking about Ayurveda and Ayurvedic techniques. So we were just talking about sort of the concept of what the whole picture looks like. You were talking about how sleep is impacted. You were talking about how diet is important. I think relationships is a piece of that. So can you go a little bit deeper into this? When you have a client who comes to you and they say to you, you know, I'm not feeling right, I'm feeling lethargic, I'm not sleeping well, you know, they have all these different things going on. Where do you start and what types of things do you get into to help them improve?
So we always start with a 2-hour intake session. Mm-hmm. And that really helps me pin down where their problems can be originating, right? Okay. So if I see that somebody is underslept, we're going to really be looking at what is it that is causing that? Is it something that, you know, is it something that they're consuming? Is it a substance? Because very often people really overdo on caffeine, for example, especially in the second part of the day, and that causes disturbed sleep. Is it, you know, relational? Is it that they tend to overthink and they can't switch off their working brain in the evenings? So we really look at the person's routine, what happens during the day. And and so having, like, spending those 2 hours with a person, it really allows me to see, okay, this is an opportunity for us to, you know, let's unpack this. Let's unpack, you know, what is your approach to work, right? Why is it that you feel you are, you know, you haven't done enough by the time when you leave work? This is how we kind of start getting at the root cause, and then we start unpacking it little by little.
Right. Okay. So let me give a hypothetical here. We've got let's say an adult woman in her late 40s, and she's working in a high pressure job. Maybe she's an attorney. Okay. And so she's got a lot of pressure. She's very smart, but she's very driven. So she wants to make sure that she does her work well. She's also got some young kids at home. Her husband is also an attorney, also working very hard. So both of them are really working hard. And she comes to you and she says, you know, I get home and I have a hard time turning my brain off. And so when I try to get to bed, I'm worried about these cases and all the things that have to happen and all my deadlines, and then I've got to take care of my kids and so on and so forth. What are some common things that you would see with a person who's that, you know, driven person like that?
Common things that I would see is, you know, that would be the type of person who would feel that whatever they do, it's never enough. Mm-hmm. And it's the type of person who would have very high expectations for themselves, but also for others. And, you know, one of the reasons why I am so in love with this Vedic tradition is because I feel like it's a different worldview, in a sense that it teaches us to look at all the variety that is in the world through the lens of different categories, okay? Mm-hmm. So, for example, the variety of somebody having this type of job and having these expectations and having these type of nervous system symptoms and these type of relational problems, like, we can look at all of this separately, or we can put it into categories. So in Ayurveda, we categorize everything. Okay. We categorize food according to the qualities and digestive effects. We categorize health symptoms according to the root cause. Mm-hmm. And there is a category that I can speak to today in relation to, you know, especially sleep. Mm-hmm. And this is true for yoga and for Ayurveda as well, because yoga and Ayurveda are actually sister sciences, and they were designed to be practiced together. Okay. So there is this category of, so the Sanskrit terms are Agni and Soma. So we can translate it as fire and nectar. So okay. The traditional Chinese medicine has a very similar concept of yang and yin. Okay. So this is, like everything in life can fit into these two categories, whether something is of solar energy, so activating energy expenditure, mm-hmm. or of a lunar energy, so idle, slow moving, and replenishing. Okay, so this is that nectar piece. So okay. I always have a candle on my desk to remind me of that, because it's a very important concept. So to have a flame that lasts, we need to have some kind of unctuous substance to keep it going, right?
Right, right.
So sleep belongs to the lunar category. It belongs to that sustenance category that is the unctuous substance on which the flame relies, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So when we are thinking of somebody who is really like fire driven, their life, like their life activities are too much in that momentum of Agni, of fire, of activation, they will start to lack the things that are represented by what is lunar, what is that sustenance, right? So those are things like patience, right? Allowance for others to be as they are, compassion, mm-hmm. right? And especially when we're talking about relationships and how maybe sleep can affect our relationships, and this hypothetical woman who perhaps has trouble, you know, like relating to her husband and to her kids because she's all the time so agitated, mm-hmm. that can be explained by a disbalance in those two categories. So her life is too Agni driven. It's too fire driven. And so a lot of effort, if she wants a change, needs to be put into how can we make her life more lunar, okay? Mm-hmm. So more yin in a way,
right?
So we would be looking at how can we introduce that through diet, because foods can also be, classified according to whether they're activating for the body, whether they like pungent things that activate the metabolism, or some are really like nourishing and have the slow energy like butter and, you know, like fats like avocado, for example. So diet is one way. What can she do in her day that will replenish her energy if she's not sleeping during the night, right? And to have that balance, some things will have to go, right? So it's not going to be her kids, right? It may not be her job. It may not be the husband. But something needs to change so that all that fire where she is expending her energy during the day can kind of like calm down and be supported. So we would probably be looking in her case at what support systems can she establish to help her so that she has more time to replenish her energy during the day.
Right. Wow. So I really love the candle idea, because it really helped me understand that if she's the flame and she's burning bright, eventually the wax of the candle runs out, and if you don't have any more to replenish it, the flame can't continue. And I love that example. So I understand what you're saying. Do you find that people who are so driven like that are able to bring themselves into balance, or is that a hard thing for them to do?
I think the further you are in the momentum, and that can be, you know, either the activated side or also the yin side, the slower side, because that is how depression works, right? When we get ourselves in this like idleness, and for some people, you know, once you've been there long enough, then they become very sedentary, and then it's very difficult to get moving, right? So the further we are along in the momentum, the more difficult it is, and the more support we might need to kind of get back on track, where we can have like a balanced dance between the two, because we definitely need both types of energies in our life to function and to participate in life in the way that we would like, that most of us would like.
Right.
Deliberately.
Right. Well, this is a great spot for us to take our second commercial break. So we're going to do that. We're going to come back. And then I want to learn more about the diet side that you were talking about. So stay tuned here on Sleep Science Today. I'm your host, Andrew Kolsky. We're going to be back. We're going to be talking about Ayurveda and diet. We'll see you soon. If you're having trouble sleeping and you need support, don't go it alone. Join us at our free online support group at sleepsupportgroup.com. Just put in your email address, sign up for the list, and you will be notified of all of our upcoming meetings. It's free, so why not try it out? Have you ever wondered why you can't sleep well? Well, there could be lots of different reasons. In order to figure it out, I wrote the book, Why Can't I Sleep Well? It includes 150 common sleep questions that are asked and answered, and I provide all of the supporting science and evidence to address each of the questions. I encourage you to get a copy of Why Can't I Sleep Well by Andrew Kolsky. It's available at www.sleepsciencetoday.com.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list? Then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, we're back on Sleep Science Today. We were talking about Ayurveda prior to the break. We were talking about sleep. And now I'd like to learn a little bit more about the diet. What types of things do people typically do wrong that they could do better? And what types of things are doing better?
So the first thing that I always work on is establishing a daily rhythm for somebody, basically a daily eating schedule, because okay, so many people have erratic schedules for sleep, yes, and for food, especially those who, you know, either are like working on a freelance basis, so they're like free spirits, or those working in offices that don't always, you know, have the opportunity to take a break in the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. So that is the very first thing in Ayurveda. We always look at a person's rhythm. That determines so much. So much of our health and well-being depends on that, including sleep. So that's definitely a very important piece. And sleep and digestion are incredibly linked together. So just like we're speaking of this, you know, candle metaphor of the fire and of the flame and the wax, our digestion is that fire, right? And sleep is the wax. So we can't unlink them ever, really. Because if our sleep is disturbed, our digestion always takes a hit. So the way that I usually see this happen is, you know, through irregularity. So either patterns of constipation or gas and bloating. Those are like the first signs that tell me that perhaps there are also some sleep issues on hand.
Okay. So in terms of, you talk about a regular eating schedule, but what about the types of foods? Is there a recommended sort of, I'll use the word diet, meaning the types of foods that people should be eating and the types of people should be avoiding?
Yeah, so as a general rule of thumb in Ayurveda, we always want food to be fresh, ideally home-cooked that same day. We would want it to be organic and local, because there's this concept of prana that we look at. So prana is a life force that is present in all living beings, including our food. So when a food has been handled by many people, by machines, by, you know, industrially handled, it loses, like with each step that is being handled, it loses some of that life force. So in order to get the best of our food, we want it to have, we want it to be, to come from like as close as possible. But another thing that we also look at is digestibility. And that may not depend on the actual food, but on the body. So there are certain bodies that do really well with raw foods. And other bodies don't digest raw foods. It just makes them bloated straight away. You know, some bodies can handle like more protein meals than others. Some do well with dairy. For some, dairy is less advised. So, you know, when I work with somebody individually, when I accompany them, like I'll be able to say what types of foods they will do better with. But in Ayurveda, we generally always advise food that has been cooked, because when we cook it, even if it's, you know, albeit gently, just like simmering something, that is already like a pre-digestive step. So that kind of helps our digestive fire to break it down.
I see. Interesting. Wow. Okay. So let's kind of transition that now over into sleep. Are there particular types of things that you recommend to people related to their sleep? And I mean, number one, we're talking about habits and things that they do. We're also talking about maybe sleep surfaces and you know, bedroom setup and all these things. Can you kind of give us a sense of the most, you know, the best things that a person can do related to sleep?
Yeah, so we already spoke about the importance of having a daily rhythm. I would just bring people's attention to their bedtime routine, and especially what they do during this slot, during this evening time slot, what are the activities that they engage in? So again, if we bring this back to this, you know, flame and wax metaphor, we want things to be slow and, you know, slow and nourishing during those hours leading up to sleep. So that means we want to avoid things that activate us, right? We want to avoid all the yang things. So working, if that can be avoided, exposure to bright lights or, you know, phones, because that is when we are on our phones, we are expending energy, right? So that is an activation for our nervous system, and especially exposure to blue light for sure. So we want to kind of mimic that transition into the night, thinking how our ancestors, like they in the evenings, they would sit by the fire. So what is the closest that we can get to that environment that would, you know, feel doable for us and also soothing for our nervous systems? So really looking at what happens during those last hours leading up to sleep. What are the activities that I can avoid and leave for tomorrow? And what are the activities that feel relaxing to me, that really put my mind at ease? And really trying to double down on those,
right,
for sure.
Right.
And another thing that I always look at when someone has disturbed sleep, I think I already mentioned it today, is looking at how much caffeine they consume during the day. So sometimes, I mean, for all people, I would say afternoon should be caffeine free. For some people who have a certain body type that has a more sensitive nervous system, I don't advise caffeine at all if they have sleeping issues. And I belong to that body type. I do have a sensitive nervous system. So my relationship with caffeine is on and off, depending on how good my sleep is. So that's a rule I have with myself, that if I'm not sleeping brilliantly, I don't have coffee.
Right. Wow. Yeah, I'm just thinking to myself, you know, it's the sort of a stereotypical American diet, which is, you know, not the best, would be starting off the morning with sugary things, whether it be sugary cereals or sugary pastries or something like that, and a cup of coffee. So we've got the sugar and we've got the caffeine. And then we get into lunchtime and everybody's so busy, they don't have time. And so they get something quick, fast food, high fat, high salt, or high sugar again. And then they get into that afternoon slump. So they go and they get a high caffeine energy drink or more coffee or something. And then they come home, and if they're eating, oftentimes they order out. And so they're getting something again from a restaurant, high fat, high salt, probably high sugar in some cases. And then they want to go to bed. So they haven't had much protein. They haven't had much nourishment. Forget about vegetables and fruits and things, you know. And then they're all wound up and wired, and then they have sleeping problems. And it's not a surprise when you look at the diet, right?
Yeah, so that afternoon crash is so, so common. And I always try to find a solution for my clients that go through this that would replace the caffeine. Because we never want to, like, remove a bad habit, but we want to replace it with something. Mm-hmm. So finding something that can replace it without agitating them, but that can sustain them for a bit longer. Because if there's that crash, we do want to fuel the body in a way that is sustainable and supportive, right? Caffeine doesn't fuel, it doesn't actually give us energy. It gives us the illusion of energy. So when we're running on caffeine, especially in the afternoon, we end up really exacerbating our energy budget, because we are, you know, we might be carrying on and doing everything we have to do, thinking we have energy, but we really don't.
Right. Right. Wow. Well, yeah, I think to myself how over the years, at least here in the U.S. again, the coffee shops, the Starbucks and the Peet's and there's lots and lots of different coffee chains. And so they have coffee drinks all throughout the day available to people. And I see kids coming in after school and they get whatever it is, but it all has the caffeine and the sugar and stuff in it. And, it's just become sort of a norm, and it's a challenge for someone to consciously say, I need to avoid caffeine, especially after like 2 PM is what we tell them. And so there are some changes that people can make, to some obvious things that are impacting their sleep. But we are actually out of time. So I want to thank you for coming and sharing with us everything that you have and teaching us more, about Ayurveda. I was trying to say two words at once there. Any last tips for our audience before we wrap up our show today?
I would just say, be kind to yourself and don't feel guilty about your path so far, because we are always doing the best that we with the tools that we have. And if you continue informing yourself, you will have more tools at your disposal, and you will be able to support yourself better. But really, you can move forward with self-compassion and without beating yourself up that you've been doing things wrong the whole time. I think that's really important.
Great. Well, thank you for that. Before we go, I do want to mention to our audience that we have a new feature available to them, which is if you're having sleeping problems and you're looking for a sleep support group, we have a free online sleep support group. All you have to do is go to sleepsupportgroup.com, sign up, and you can talk with others and learn from others about their sleep issues. So thank you so much for joining us today on Sleep Science Today. Visit us online, www.sleepsciencetoday.com, and we'll see you on our next episode.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Sleep Science Today and learning how to sleep better with your host, Andrew Kolsky, on UK Health Radio. For more information on how you can achieve better sleep, go to sleepsciencetoday.com. Remember, sleep science today and sleep better tonight.